book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to deal with a phrase this evening, just four words, and try to break those four words down. And a lot of my Christian life, I did not understand this phrase, I mean, till later on. It ain't been that long ago that I really dove in and found out what this phrase means. But it can easily trip you up, but it's so good. I'm going to read it and deal with it this evening. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Interested in these first four words. We'll read the whole verse. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, years ago, I don't know how many years ago it's been. How many of y'all remember a song? It's titled, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Y'all remember that? That's been a long time ago. But that's what I titled this, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Paul is dealing with worry and anxiety and stress. And I believe we could all identify with that. Maybe you don't personally deal with it to the highest level, but some way, shape, or form, we all deal with pressure and stress and anxiety, pressure. And this is what I believe he's dealing with here. And after the year we've had, I believe we could all be encouraged of how to deal with this. It said, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I'm afraid a lot of folks have traded in their prayer and supplication for worry and medication in the day we're living. Let's look at these four words. Be careful for nothing. First of all, the word be. That's a very little word, but it's a powerful word. Be, I believe that speaks of the present tense. Be, the present tense of this command means right now, where we are. Not where we've been or where we're going, but right now in the very moment that we're living. We can't go back in our past and change things, no more than we can jump into the future and rearrange and try to get things set up. And Paul is bringing us to the current moment of our life. And he's saying, your worry ain't going to change your yesterday. How many of us worry about things we've done in the past? And it haunts us, and we rehearse it, and we replay it over and over again, and we worry about, what did I do to so-and-so? What did I say? And the reality is, it's in the past, and there ain't nothing you can do to retract that or redo that. So there's no sense in worrying about it. Not only is Paul getting us out of our past, but he's also bringing us back from the future and letting us know we don't need to be out in the future trying to live ahead of our life and worrying about what's going to happen in our life. Some people have got on that DeLorean with Michael J. Fox, and they ain't never going to come back from the future. We're so worried about what's going to happen. And Paul is saying to us, just be right now, in the now and now. Be and stop living with the regret of yesterday. Stop living with what's going to be on the tomorrow. But live in the now, in the present. Because worrying about the past or worrying about the future will rob you of your present state. So stop worrying about what has happened or what may happen, and just be. Your health, your wealth, your finances, family are all in God's hands. And there ain't nothing you're going to do by worrying about it or stressing over it that's going to change any of that in the past or the future. The only thing you can do about it is what you're doing right now. So just be in the moment. If we could just learn to live right now and focus out the rest of that, we would be much happier people and way less stressful. If we can leave the service tonight just applying this point, just living in the now, we would all do way better and be much better off. So stop living in what was and what will be and start living in the now, in the present tense. Number two, not only be speaking of the present tense of this command, but careful, be careful. That speaks of the pending transaction. What I mean by that, one of the arguments about the King James Bible, it is old and outdated, and the words are just so old people can't understand them. But here in the text, I believe there's no other word that could be said any clearer or to define what God's saying any better than what he said. He said, be careful. So let's look at that word, careful. Careful. What does careful mean? It means full of care. Careful. Full of care. Paul's saying right now, I don't want you to be filled with care. Right now, where you're at, be careful. Be careful. Don't be full of care. So I label this the pending transaction. How many of us know what a pending transaction is? How many of you are so blessed that you wrote a $35 check a week or two ago, and you never have, once that check's written, you never have to go back and re-examine or look at that. I mean, once it's written down in your registry, this is considered done, never to be revisited. Well, you're blessed. I don't live there. I live in the Regions Bank app world, to where I wrote that check. It says $35, and it says pending. And as long as it says pending, I might can spend that $35 another time or two before it clears. I'm trying to get $70 out of a $35 check till payday. So what is a pending transaction? What is a pending transaction? It means it's already been obligated, but it hasn't went through yet. It means it's there, but it ain't there. It's spent, but it's still showing. So what's this got to do with careful? When we allow ourselves to be full of care, we take all of our emotion, all of our energy, all of our enjoyment, and put that into a pending transaction. What do I mean by that? Listen, we get caught up and where we were and where you might be, and you can't spend your $35 worth of happiness where you are because we're worried about where we used to be and where we had spent it. We take all of our emotion and energy and enjoyment and we're spending that somewhere else that we're not. And therefore, where we are, we don't have anything to spend. And we're depleted. We're empty because we've spent it in worry and in places that we're not. It's causing you to be full of care. It's causing me to be full of care. When we worry, we're so full of care that it holds us down. It distracts us and divides us. Careful means full of care. What are we supposed to be full of? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein it excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit and be filled with care at the same time. If you're full of care, if you're careful, full of care, the cares of this life, you can't be full of the Spirit. It's impossible. If you take a Coke bottle and fill it to the brim with Coke, well, it can't be full of Mountain Dew because it's full of Coke. And if you fill it with Mountain Dew, that means it's not full of Coke. It's either one or the other. And we can't be full of care and be filled with the Spirit. It's one or the other. And so he's saying we should be careful for nothing. But don't be full of care. That word careful speaks, and it comes from the word distraction. The same word that's is rendered from the word distractions. The reason the devil wants us to be full of care about yesterday or about tomorrow is so he can distract you from today. And so distracted by your future, your health, finances, etc., that you cannot concentrate on right now. Be honest, How much of our time do we spend in yesterday that it so distracts us from today that we are nowhere near as capable to fulfill this day and do what we should do today and to be led by the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit today and to accomplish what God set out. I preached this morning on going forward. We'll never go forward today living in yesterday. When our mind is involved in yesterday or our mind is enveloped in tomorrow, we will never fulfill today what God set out for us to do. So you see, it's a pending transaction. Whatever it is that we're distracted by is keeping us from being filled with the Spirit right now. Careful comes from a word that means distracted, and that word distracted comes from a word that means divided. And isn't that what distractions do? It divides us. When you get distracted, you become divided from your current state. They divide us to the point that we cannot concentrate on the now because we're divided by the distractions of yesterday and tomorrow. And we can't live in the now because we're being full of care and being distracted by the cares and the problems of life. And that's what distractions are. I'm trying to do this while I'm thinking about that. I've been in a conversation with one person and my mind being completely distracted by another person. Sometimes I'll have to step out of the room at the house. I'll be talking to somebody about a problem or counseling with somebody or whatever. And the room becomes so full of noise that I'm so distracted by what's going on around me that I cannot concentrate on what I'm supposed to be doing. I have to remove myself. And that is the same way it is with cares. We allow the cares of this life to so control us that it's impossible to do what God set for us to do. And sometimes we need to remove our... Well, it's being commanded to us, be careful for nothing. Remove yourself from the cares of this life and from what the devil's trying to put in your life to remind you. How many of us, I hope I'm not the only one, but the devil is a professional at being an accuser of the brethren. Have you ever gotten an altar and prayed, Lord, I empty myself out on this altar. I'm empty, Lord, fill me. If you don't pray that, you should. Because you can't get filled until you're empty. But as soon as you get up off the altar and walk out those doors, the devil's so good at coming and filling your mind and your heart even with cares. And before you get home, there again, what you just emptied out on the altar, it's back in your mind. I mean, as soon as you just left a good service, heard a word from God, heard great singing, and got filled and was doing good. And just before you get to your car, there comes those thoughts bombarding your brain. Yes, those fiery darts from hell filling your life and your mind with cares. Because he wants you to be careful. Because God said, be careful for nothing. So he wants to fill you with care. And it is distracting. It is dividing. What's the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so if he can distract us and divide us with cares, he will. He absolutely will. He don't have to get you to go to the honky-tonk on Friday night, get you to down a 12-pack. He don't have to get you in some illicit relationship. He can take good Christian people like our members of Morningstar Baptist Church, and you come in tonight to get help from God, to fellowship with the brethren, come sit out in the parking lot to get help from God. And before you get home, good Christian people who ain't about to go drink or run around with their spouse, before tomorrow, before the sun comes up, your mind will be filled with cares. The same old problems that polluted you and plagued you last week will be back there in full force before tomorrow. How many people can identify with that? If you can't, I'll preach to me because it happens to me. I hadn't attained, I hadn't apprehended and graduated to the place where the cares of this life don't bother me, that I don't have to keep them in check. But this is not a suggestion. This is not an option. He's commanding us, be careful. I mean, those two words alone should be a warning. Be careful. We say that to our children. Be careful. And that's how we process it in our mind. But he's talking about something different. How many of you remember the verse, casting all your cares upon him? For he careth for... Do you see how that word's used? It ain't just the way we always think of it as, well, I care for you. Or no, cares can be a negative. Cares can be problems. Cares can be things to weigh us down, to distract us. And he's saying, be careful. Don't be full of care.
Right.
Well, number three. Be careful for nothing. That word nothing speaks of permitted trouble. God said, be careful for nothing. So how much trouble does God permit us? How much care does he allow us to worry about? Be careful for a little. I didn't want it said. Be careful for a lot. Be careful for 10%. No. It says, be careful for nothing. The permitted trouble, God says that there is absolutely no way, no reason, no how that you should allow things and cares and troubles to infiltrate your mind, to distract you from me, to divide you from me, to allow your heart and your mind to be filled with anything else but my spirit and my power. Now, if I had wrote the Bible, I wouldn't have wrote it that way. But how many people's glad I didn't write the Bible? I mean, God used men to write the Bible. Lots of them. But I'm glad he didn't use this man, because I would have put my twist on a lot of verses like this one. I would have said, be careful for nothing except hard times. Be careful for nothing except bad doctor's reports. Be careful for nothing except bad bank accounts. Be careful for nothing except big bills. Be careful for nothing except bad family problems. Those are some of the things I would have put, but God used Paul, the Apostle Paul, to pen his perfect will. And he said, be careful for nothing. He's saying, I don't permit you any place, anything that should bog you down and weigh you down, worrying. This is a big statement I'm going to make, and I used to not believe this, but I am 100% convinced of what I'm about to say is truth. I believe worrying is a sin. If you can take that Bible and prove me otherwise, I invite you to do so. But there is nothing about worry that's spiritual. There's nothing about worrying that's godly. There's nothing about, matter of fact, for every one verse you might could shade to say it's okay, I could give you 20 that teaches us that we should not worry. There's nothing spiritual about worrying. The definition for nothing, Strong's Concordance said, no, not to be worried about one thing. That's what the definition says. Not one man or not one woman. If I took things out of the definition and just said not to be worried about one man or one, some of you wives should say amen to that, or one woman. Being a preacher, being a Christian, being a daddy, I get worried about people a lot. I wonder how much of our time we give. Be honest, and you don't have to stand up and testify publicly, but be honest, how much time do we spend worrying? I've heard a statistic say 80% of what we worry about don't come to pass. I believe that's a small number in relation to what it really is. But even let's just go with that number. 80%. If 80% of what we give our time, attention, bite our fingers to the quick, worry, let our mind just go on these tirades and just, it consumes you. Do you ever worry? Yeah. How many times, look back at through your life and look at how many times it was all for naught. Yes. Most of the things we worry about never happens. Yeah. Think about how many people right now in America are worrying about catching a virus. Yeah. And the reality is, there ain't a whole lot you can do about it.
Amen.
I know people who wear masks, who social distance, who they don't do anything, and they got it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And then you take some country bumpkin like me. I ain't never put on a mask. I ain't social distance. The first time I shake everybody's hand, don't hardly wash my hands, love on everybody, go everywhere. If anybody should have got it, I should have got it. And I may get it tonight. But I'm simply saying, there ain't no sense in worrying about it. This is the reality. Brother Jackie said it this morning. If, God forbid, I get it and die with it even. Lord, help me not to worry about it.
Amen.
I'm saying it's in God's hands. And God's commanded us, be careful. Don't be full of care for nothing. I mean, don't let anything alter your life. My, what a timely message.
Right, yeah.
I believe I could say very generously and graciously, we've let this virus alter our living.
Yeah.
And that's just, I just use that example because it's top of everybody's mind. But remove ourselves from the virus. Well, look at how things we allow to alter our living, our everyday lives, due to worry. I wonder how many ulcers people has gotten simply because they cannot quit worrying. I'm saying it'd be healthier for you to get a hold of this truth. It'll help you sleep at night. It'll help you be able to sit down with your family and have a meal and enjoy it. It'll help you live your life with victory. If we can grab hold to this, be careful for nothing. Amen. I think this is easy. It ain't. It is not easy. But it is possible. God don't command us to do anything. I said this morning. God commanded us to go forward. Therefore, that means He's going to provide a way and protect a path and empower us to do so. He commanded us to be saved and to go to heaven. Well, I could never do that on my own. But if He can take an old black, wicked sinner's heart and cleanse it by the blood of His Son and make me fit for heaven and give me eternal life and gonna get me from this wicked world to the next forever, I believe He can take care of me through this life. Whatever problem I face. And you as well. Yes. There's not one thing biblically that has permission or a right to fill our heart with care. Not one. Somebody says, well, preacher, that all sounds good, and that's good preaching, but how in the world are we supposed to do that? I'm glad you asked. I'm closing, but this is how we do it. It's right there in the Word of God, in the same verse. It's not a coincidence. God followed that statement with the next one.
Amen.
The very next phrase in the verse gives the answer. By prayer and supplication. Matter of fact, He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
That is the answer. He said, well, duh, I already knew that. Boring. It might be boring, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
It might be boring to you, and it may sound like old news, but if you want to deal with worry,
yes, sir,
if you want to deal with being full of care,
yes, sir,
being weighed down, being distracted constantly by things in your mind, you know the Bible says, bring every thought
captivity
under subjection,
yes, sir,
and into captivity.
Amen.
I'm saying God can. And this is the key. He's the only one that can.
Amen.
Fix your worry. You can't fix it. I sure can't fix it. There ain't a preacher this side of heaven that can fix it. There ain't a church good enough that can bring solace to all your worry. It ain't going to happen. And I'm saying you can't find your answer in a man. You can't. Some wives get so mad at their husbands, and they want their husbands to be the fix for all their worry. And when he can't be, they take it out on him, and they resent him for it. And the same with husbands to wives. And listen, the reality is there is no husband that can fix all your worry. There is no wife that can take care of all your worry,
yes, sir,
and all your care. But there's a God in heaven.
Hallelujah.
And he can, and he's the only one that can.
Amen.
And he said, if you'll cast your care on me,
yes,
I care for you.
Thank God.
But I believe this with all my heart, Brother Neil. We walk most of our life throwing our worries, throwing our cares on our own shoulder and being mad at God, wondering why he ain't took them. When the reality is we've never cast them.
Amen.
I preached a message one time on that verse, casting all your care on him for he care. That word cast is not like a lot of the things like fishing. You throw that net out there and then you retract it to get the catch. Or in modern day, you throw a fishing rod out there, a line, a lure, and wind it back in. That is not the word found in that verse. Cast is to take a rock and to throw it and release it, never to be retracted.
Yes.
God saying to us, cast our care, those things that weigh us down, those things that distract us, those things that disturb us, those things that divide us, cast those on me because I can handle it.
Amen.
Don't take it. So a lot of times we'll go to an altar and we'll say, oh God, take this from me. Lord, I can't take this anymore. It's killing me. Lord, it's distracting me. I can't get nothing done. Home's a mess. My relationship's a mess. God, take this from me. And we get up off the altar and grab it and go back to our seats. Winding it back in because we want to figure it out. We want to fix it. Can I say this? You ain't fixed it yet. What makes you think you just woke up today with some fresh idea? But doubt it. Seriously, doubt it. It's burdened you this long. It's bothered you this long. Why don't you take that thing that's that care that's filling your life? Take God at His word and say, be careful for nothing. And say, Lord, I'm tired of carrying this. It's robbing me of my life. It's robbing me of my joy. I've worried about it long enough, Lord. I can't carry it, but you said you can, and I trust you. And I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
I thought about this. He didn't even say, give it to me. He said, throw it. Cast it. What did that mean? I don't think God trusts us to get close enough to hand it to Him.
Right.
I think as soon as we realize we got it, we just need to let loose.
Amen.
Chunk it.
Amen.
Don't go another step further to get it to God. Stop where you at and throw it to Him.
Amen.
Cast it.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, take it. I can't take it no more. You take it. You can trust Him. He's never dropped one thing. I thought about this verse. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against this that day. We are trusting Him to hold, have and hold our sin. Do you remember, I was talking to somebody this week. I was talking about when they got saved, Brother Ned, they said, it felt like the whole world come off of me. Yeah. Felt like I lost 100 pounds. Yeah. I said, it was more than that.
Right.
It was heavy. You remember how heavy sin was?
Yeah.
I remember when I got saved, Preacher Fowler had to weigh 350. And I'm being nice.
Yeah.
He don't weigh that much no more, but he did. He was a whopper. And I called him, and he come over to my house, and he got down over top of me and was praying. And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. And under heaven, I stopped praying and turned. I could have swore he got up off me. It was that much weight lifted. I'd have bet my life he got off of me. And I thought, I remember thinking, while I'm praying to get saved, that's a serious time. I remember thinking, why'd he get up off me? I'm in the middle of getting saved. Why would he get up and be done? And I turned around and he was right there on me. But the weight of the world will come off of me.
Amen.
And if we'll trust God with that,
oh,
how small does the cares of our life that we let worry and burden us down seem in light of that? If we'll trust our soul for him to have and hold, surely we can trust a problem and something that's worrying us. You can trust Jesus. You can give him anything. And Paul said, I know whom I believe in. And he's going to keep it against that day. In other words, when I get to that day, the day of the judgment, He's got the record. He's got everything I entrusted him with. And you remember that faith you had, how sweet and innocent and little it was when you got saved? I mean, you didn't know everything you know now. Brother David, you've been saved a while, and you've grown in your faith. But remember all the way back when you got saved, how little that faith was? But it was so pure. And you just knew at that moment, you could give Jesus your life, your heart. Remember how real that was? Remember how much you trusted him?
Amen.
You got to really trust somebody to give them your soul.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to really trust somebody to open up all the doors of your dirty house and say, Lord, come in and clean it all out.
Amen.
I'll let you see it all.
Amen.
And please take it with you. I remember that. Vividly. And my faith has grown a lot over the years. But if I could trust him with a childlike faith to give him my soul, we as more mature Christians should be able to trust him with the cares of this life.
Amen.
Amen. You asked me this evening, do I have anything to be stressed about or anxious about? Yep, I do. I do. I'm a father of four daughters who are peaking. They're teenage years right now. Two of them were boys coming around. Yeah, I got stuff to worry about. I got bills to pay just like you do. I got issues. Listen, I got things to worry about. But if I trust him, I accept his will. And his outcome. That ain't easy. When I say little boys want to come to my house, I don't want to trust that. I don't care about the outcome. I don't want them there.
Amen.
I don't want to see them little punks. I trust God, but I don't trust me, and I don't want to go to prison. Yeah, I got things that stress me. But honestly, all playing aside, if I trust him, I trust his outcome. I trust his will. And this don't mean everything will work out perfect and easy. No, but it does mean I'm going to trust him and do all that I know to do.
Amen.
and trust Him that He will do all that He can do, and leave the results in God's hands. And at the end of the day, that's all you can do. All you can do is all you can do, and trust God to do all He can do. And the results are in God's hands. There's nothing, there's nobody else that can manipulate that situation to change the results. You can live with yourself if you do all you can do and trust God to do all He can do. Life gets way simpler that way. I'm done. But listen, as a pastor, could I help you? I promise you this will help you. I have said, and my occupation is people. And people will drive you insane. People will give you good reason to worry. That's the truth. I love people. But people are crazy. Good people are crazy. You ever notice this? Everybody's weird but you. Every family does crazy stuff but your family. And if you just want to get real honest, we all crazy. We all weird. And in pastoring people, over the years I've poured my life into people. Teenagers, goodness gracious, you talking about crazy. Seriously though, I mean, you get your hopes up, you pray hours and hours and weep many, many tears, fast and pray and pour your life into people. And they do so good until they don't. And you're talking about rip your heart out. And you see them going the wrong way. They start leaning. And you want to prop them up. And you want to run ahead of them and say, don't do that. And I have. But I can't tell you how many nights I've sat and worried myself sick because I knew what was right down the road from where they was heading. But you know what the reality is? There wasn't nothing. I did all I could do. I prayed every prayer I could pray. I fasted every meal I could fast. I preached every message I could preach. I gave them all the love I could give them. And at the end of the day, that's all I could do. And looking back, I wished I hadn't spent so many days worried sick and wasting time. Because worrying time is wasting time. Because it don't change nothing. Except for your current situation, which makes it miserable. And makes you not even want to live with your own self. Makes you doubt everything.
Yes, sir.
It's true. So do all, simply put, do all you can do. And trust God to do the rest. If you can grab hold of that simple, I mean, it's just four words. Be careful for nothing. And reduce that down to its simplest form. Do everything you know to do and leave the rest to God. And be okay with that. Because you can't live other people's lives no matter how bad you want to. Because people are people. Even God give people a will to do what they want to do. That's scary. That's a scary proposition. But God did that. He didn't make us robots or animals. He gave us a volition, a will. And if somebody wants to do something bad enough, there ain't nothing you can do to stop them. That applies to children. That applies to spouses. That applies to church members. That applies to employees, friends, across the board. That applies. So do all you can do with your child. Now that's a big statement, because that is a lot of responsibility to be able to honestly say, I did all I could do. But if you have, and if you hadn't, don't worry about it. I just preached that message. Must I retract and rewind and preach? Don't worry about what you can't change. Start tomorrow. And start doing all you know to do. Get them to the house of God. Get them under preaching. Get them around Christian people. Invest spiritual things in their life. Do what you know to do. Amen. Do all that you can do. And all you can do from there is trust God to do the rest. Amen. That's all you can do. And that alone will eliminate so much worry out of your life. Let's stand. I'm done. Father, we love you. Lord, help us take these simple words, God. Simple, so simple. But Lord, so powerful. God, if we could grasp the truth of it. Lord, I pray for every person, and beginning with myself, Lord, that's been plagued with worry. So full of care, Lord, in this life. Cares over people. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. God, to cast all of our cares upon you. Lord, you do care for us. God, we cannot handle them. We cannot carry them. Lord, it's weighing us down. I pray you'd help us. Be careful for nothing. Would you help, Lord, that one that's struggling the most, Lord. That one that's filled with the most care. Full of care. Lord, I pray you'd touch them. Help them to see the truth, the Word of God. I pray this would be a day, Lord, that they would be released from all that weight, God. God, I pray that for my own life, Lord. No sooner than I get done preaching this message, Lord, I know the devil will try his best to begin worry, to begin weighing me down, distracting me, Lord, dividing me, God, from my current state. Lord, help me, Lord, in this, to live in the now, Lord, not worry about tomorrow or yesterday. Pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, would you help us all? Speak, Lord. Lord, I've done my best to preach the message. Lord, I pray, God, you would do your part. God, I've come as far as I know to come, Lord. I've done all I know to do. Lord, I pray you'd take your word. You said it wouldn't return void. And I pray you, the Holy Ghost of God, would illuminate the Word of God, the truth, the Word of God to your people. Release them, Lord. Help them. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.